Have we started? Today what we're doing is talking about gentling trauma relief. Now, gentling trauma relief, I'm going to ask you all to think, including those who are listening, what do you consider trauma to be, and write it on a bit of paper. I don't want to hear about it. I just want you to write it down because we're going to visit that in a minute. So the first thing to do is, what do I think of trauma? What does it mean? What does that word bring up for me? And then I'm going to go to my usual beginning, which is drawing a line on a bit of paper. And that line on a bit of paper is going to show you that we have everything set up in this reality as duality. And so we have one side and the other side. We've got up and down and night and day and good and bad and black and white and so on. So hopefully you're not doing a dissertation. We just need one or two words. What does trauma mean? What does it bring up for you? We've put that away, and now we're looking at, we are living in duality. And in living in duality, we've got two sides to everything. And those two sides to everything, if we're doing acupuncture, can be called yang and yin. And I've drawn on the right-hand side of the page yin and the left-hand side yang. The yang side is the more active, the more energy, the more etheric, the more spiritual, if you use that word. The right-hand side of the page, the yin, is the more structive, meaning it's got form. It's more physical and tangible. And our culture has defaulted to, that's all we need to be talking about. So that's what our five senses are doing. And then we also default to, where's the research? Well, the research is you can feel it. So that then is why we need to know what you are in the Maya briefs, because some of us are very feely stuff. We can't not feel, and we're too emotive, and we're too intuitive, and we pick stuff up, and everything seems to throw us out. So we really have to do something about another word called boundaries. So can you please write down boundaries, because we will come back to boundaries. Now, boundaries are what are going to keep you alive and safe. And so boundaries, alive and safe, are all useful. To be alive, you have to have boundaries, and they actually define on every level safety. So when I'm looking at what I quite often call the left or the right-hand side of the page, from now on, if I'm waving my arm over into the direction that you would see, I have to reverse it, so I'm just checking, and you know, some of us have got laterality stuff still, so I've got to turn around to do that. So on the right hand side is going to be that which is called right, funnily enough, as in correct, as in this is what our culture determines is the only way to do stuff. Whereas on the left, we're going to have everything, you know, when they say, well, that's a bit left of centre. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our verbiage does this automatically for us anyway, and if I'm looking to see what I'm going to talk about next, it's going to be on the top left. It's not on the top right, that's facts. Over here, on the top left, is what else I need to be doing. So we could loosely say we're channeling, we could say that's coming from spirit, whatever we tend that to be. On the extreme right, we've got our physical vehicle, which I tend to call physical vehicle as opposed to body, because we've got more than one body. But our physical vehicle is tangible, and we consider it to be us. Now, that business of considering the body to be us needs a bit of a shake-up. So then if I do three circles looking like a snowman, which is not really, the bottom circle is the one that belongs on the right-hand side of the page, which is got itself a couple of different interesting things, one of which is its electricity anyway, the electrics, and the other is the mechanics, if you like. Okay, we're talking about a physical vehicle. Mm-hmm. Our physical vehicle, the car that we as the driver drive around in, has got an electrical circuitry and a mechanical circuitry, and unfortunately our whole science-based medical everything only looks at the mechanical. And so everything is defaulting more and more. When I say it's just all clumped on the right-hand side of the page, now you understand what I'm saying by doing that. Whereas we could go somewhere else with all of this and actually be a lot more inclusive. And then when things don't seem to work, it's because we've actually got the wrong model that we're using. So when we're looking at the top circle, that's where we'd put on the left-hand side of the page, and that's spirit. And that top one there, we could call our soul. We could also call it the driver, if we were going to go upstairs. Most people call the middle circle the driver, and we could call that one the ego, personality, as opposed to the bottom one being the physical body, or we could call it a temple, or we could call it a vehicle, okay? So we have solidified and formed sufficiently to be able to be on the planet in this third dimension in duality. In so doing, we've still got the left and the right. We've got the electrical circuitry, which as an acupuncture person, I would call channels, the two of them together. But in acupuncture, we tend to say that's meridians. So the more, and here you go, you see, look, you can see how I'm dividing everything into left and right. So it's not good or bad. It's in duality, we've got two. And on the right, when we're talking about channels, meridians being on the left, we've got lymph. We've got blood. And lymph is the non-coloured component of blood. It's the body fluid that's circulating. It's got to go back into the blood to be cleansed, and it does that through the lymph nodules, which are found in different parts of the body. And so that's the body we've got there. Now, we haven't talked about where does the ego hang out on my line. Well, beliefs solidify and become character. Solidify and become identity. Where do we get the beliefs from? Well, we arrived at this place and we had already set it up. So I've got another line I'm doing. So we've got the soul script on the extreme left-hand side of the page. We got set up by ourselves. See? That part of self, the top one, the big I, as opposed to the me, as opposed to the temple. If we're not very careful, we have been in this culture recently informed that we're all the same, there's no bell curve, and we've all got to be treated the same way, we've got to think the same way, we stamp all our kids by putting them all in the same school, having the same curriculum, and blah, 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 blah. Don't know where they think that's ending, but I used to read an awful lot of science fiction, and it's not science fiction any longer. So when we're looking at the beliefs, what did we want to learn from having those beliefs? The we being the top part. So that comes into what might I have wanted to do in being here, which then leads us a merry dance through different ways of knowing. And we'll look at some of them later. So we might look at, we've just done the Maya Briggs. Okay, so that's obviously the personality. So there's a big circle and that's that bit. Okay, the personality, and I've got my three circles so I can change the size so you know what I'm talking about. If we wanted to look at what the soul wanted to come in and do, well, it had to still be in a body. And I haven't drawn it as a circle because by the time we've actually got this thing called wisdom, we've got the corners knocked off us a bit. And we've got the personality there anchoring us into appropriate behaviour. We know we all have to be clothed. You know, we know what we can and can't get away with doing and saying and being. We've got to have that. But it doesn't have to completely take over the world, which is what generally has happened. And so to be listening to this, to be at one of my presentations, what has happened for the you in the middle is it's taken direction from the top to go, look, I think you better go there. And you just find a way to get here, however that shows up. And when we're looking at different ways of looking at, look, I went off and did a whole lot of, I guess you'd call it esoteric psychology and esoteric astrology, and that's following seven rays. There's a whole lot of different ways of going about this. If you go into human design, you can see a lot more. But I've got the big books, whether it's in this house or the one in New Zealand, not sure. And the University of Seven Rays, if you can find that, will help you. And it's called Tapestry of the Gods. And Tapestry of the Gods is about, we've got five bodies and seven rays. And those seven rays and five bodies, obviously, you're going to have an imbalance. You can't be totally balanced. We're here to learn stuff. And that's one way of looking at what we're doing on the planet. There are so many others. Then, of course, there's Enneagrams. There's a whole lot of different things that people have done, which tend to be put together under human design. And under human design, if you go into that, that's amazing stuff.
Mm.
Because it's, I'm sure there's more things that aren't in it. And if you're interested in human design, I'm sure you can find it online. I'm just mentioning things so you can see how things go. Now, if we're looking at how we set things up. Now, I'm going to put this me in because I know my story, okay? So, this me was born in 1955 to a mother born in 1925, and her mother was born in 1893. So that sets this one with the Jing that this one's got. So then we might have to go, oops, new word, Heather. I'll go, no problem. If you've come from the acupuncture background, looked at any of my work, you're going to run into Jing. Jing is what allows us to be on the planet. And when we run out of our inner bank account, we're gone. It has to be a good quality. And this is where we get our breeding ideas from. Now, breeding.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got somebody who's, my mother's thing was, they've got shifty eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got hardwired into us, like they've got no chin, they've got a ferret face. We're not going to breed with them because they don't have the peasant-shaped face. They've got maybe an aristocratic, which has gone wrong. Now, that's the work of Weston Price, and I've seen that, and I've talked about that in other places. And the thing about that is it is changeable within one pregnancy. And that's what I've been doing in New Zealand at the community I work in. And they have the heather babies. What are you talking about? And I had a number of them on the grassy slope in the sun at my place one day, and I thought, they have heather babies. Between one pregnancy and the next, the mum's producing not children who look like a Siamese cat. Now, I used to breed Siamese cats, so I know that when I was breeding Siamese cats over 30 years ago, that's what they should have looked like, she said, with a triangle. Now they look like a moggy because they couldn't live because their jing, which is the bit that's showing up in their kidney energy, which is our chin area, wasn't good enough. So they had to go back to this. So when you look at a wolf made a chihuahua, really, there's an awful lot of breeding and tinkering going on.
Mm.
And it's the same with when you're looking at the face shapes and what they've done. They've bred, you know, we've got a bell curve and they've bred. It's the same with roses. It's the same with food. It's the same with anything. So I'm sticking with the human form, but it's really the same for animals as well. You know, that looking at gift horse in the mouth. Our jing shows through what's going on with our teeth, shows with what's going on with our hair. That's the flower of our kidney energy. Like this I'm borrowing from my lifetime's work of being lecturer. So we're coming back to so their kids were like that and then they went like that. She said looking like a cup. And their faces like that mean they've got good dentition. They don't have to have their teeth realigned all the time. They don't have to have their wisdom teeth taken out. Like that they don't have a crowded mouth. They've got a crowded mouth because mum and mum's generations back were eating far too much sugar. And it's actually grandma that's making the one that's coming out now anyway. So in grandma's day, sugar was the thing. And now we're injecting that to the baby accidentally by giving them all a gestational diabetes test. So we've got all this extra sugar and thus need to be like cocaine, immersed in it all the time from the time it's still developing, which means they're all going to have teeth problems, they're all going to have just gut problems and everything. That one thing. We don't have to go and talk about everything out, just that one thing. I don't know what happened, except I sort of do. Because if I go back to my line, dear old Mr. Rockefeller, back in 1908, commissioned Mr. Flexner at the cost of $268 million over 3 years to come up with a way to get rid of anybody who was doing any helpful on the body, otherwise known as medical intervention that wasn't using his drugs. So it went from 650, I think it was, the 250 medical colleges down to 50, and that meant the homeopaths and the naturopaths and the herbal and the any form of ethnic, traditional, oral, anything that had been passed down, any physical, anything, left the building. So we have the Flexner Report to thank for that, and doctors and very few healers even have ever heard of it before. I go, well, that's a problem. That's why they say eating a good diet will do. What the hang do you call that? And where are you going to get it from? And does your gut even work? Unlikely. So the Flexner Report shut down anything that had allowed us to get to here. So that means when we're looking at all animals, mother, and they might parent as well, like kookaburras, and they've got a family, a whole family group holding it all together. They've got their own tribe. And the herds are not just around mammals. And so there's behaviour that is survival orientated, and this is the boundaries word again. And then there's behaviour that they're alive because they're safe, because they've got boundaries.
Mm.
And in the physical, therefore, we're going to be talking about homeostasis. Well, Western medicine's not in the slightest bit interested in keeping us safe and homeostasis. What they want to do is have us dependent on a product for the rest of our lives. And that's where I put together the life recipe. So I'm going to just remind you of my life recipe before we go back a page. So the life recipe, I had to work out from the site, because, look, I've been an acupuncturist for too bloody long, and I'm sitting here listening to the same story time again. So I try hard to not listen to stories. I try to just go, right, you're on the couch, and I'll sort this out, that I can sense is going on. I can feel it. We'll start there. And sometimes that middle circle of mine goes, what do you think you're doing? And I break them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've consciously done it a couple of times. I've superconsciously broken them a couple of times within an intensive, because they don't even know they've got that there. So I've been doing it all the while, tromping on people's landmines, which is the Melchizedekian thing to do, but without me knowing about it. It's just how I have always worked. You know, you come near Heather, God help you, there'll be transformation. And if you want to direct it at me, I'll sideswipe myself and it can go straight past me. And you can tell everybody else how terrible I am. That's not my problem. My problem is staying safe. Again, the boundaries and the homeostasis. Okay. So when we're looking at people come in and they want me to fix them, I go, yeah, I'd like to be able to have a wand here too, but it's not my job. And it doesn't matter how much you want to pay me. You're going to go home and you're going to break it again. So I'm going to give you a little bit of this thing called parameters to work by, okay? So I decided to hell with these two, the two top ones. We'll just go with the bottom one. Okay, so then we run into what is Jing again. Now, Jing is the gradual unfolding, like an acorn to an oak tree. Everything's got a life cycle. Because I'm gardening, and because a lot of people don't garden there, they might not have the same perspective. But Jing is only going to be as good as where it came from and where did it come from. Well, to start with, we've got 7-year cycles for women and 8-year cycles for men, which is why men, little boys take longer to get anything done than girls, because they do. We've got a faster performance going on. So our menopause starts happening at 49 and their menopause starts happening at 56, supposedly, all other things being equal, because we've got a different program running. Doesn't mean we're not going to outlive them, because we probably will, because they're probably going to do daft things in their protective role and whatever else they get up to. You know, like little boys do stupid things, and adolescents do even more stupid things, and it doesn't get any better. Girls have a habit of being a bit more sustainable for the survival of the species. There's no judgment on it, but we don't need many men to repopulate the world, but we only have a certain number of babies that can come through a female body in one lifetime. So when we're looking at the rules that govern us here, we're going to get our Jing, which is our physicality, and it's not only the physicality, it's the quality, and to an extent it's also the quantity, as in how long you're going to live, but you don't want to live a terrible life, you know. So if you look at Quentin, whatever his name was, who died, the young kid, he had osteogenesis imperfecta. Okay, so he actually had a really bad Jing problem, and it showed up in his bones, but it's actually, if you look at any of the work I've done on Jing, and we're not going to go into it now, it's everything that would give somebody quality and ability to live. And so when we go back and we're talking about the breeding thing again, if we've got the very pointy, see, look, I've got a heart-shaped face,
I shouldn't. I should have a face like that. In my background, not me, but when I was being made, I was made with too much sugar back down through. And it's a lot worse now. At least I've got my teeth, and I just couldn't understand why all my kids needed their wisdom teeth pulled and straightened and all of that, because I didn't. I had perfect teeth.
Mm-hmm.
They're different now. It's not genetic, and I'm not even... I suppose you'd call it epigenetic. What we are made from, as I've seen in that community that I work on, is individual. Yes, we've got the genes, but what's sitting on top of it is going to make the difference. So that's our gene. And then if we want to go to the left and the right of that, we've got genes. And on the other side, we've got DNA. And DNA's got physical, but it's also got cellular memory, racial memory, family memory, whatever you want. Okay, so we've got something that's being carried through, but I think it all comes down to we've also got the soul family, and I haven't got my poster, which I'll put on this, so you can see that we are all of the light. I've got so many things to set you all going first before we get into undoing yourselves, that my verbiage is really different, and for me this is the only language, because this is all I've seen the world through. For everybody else, they're going, what? And they might be caught up somewhere. Now, I was caught up when I was listening, but I was actually recording Yvonne, my amazing home birth midwife friend, on to go on to Easy Breasts. And I wanted somewhere for young women who didn't know what to do and who to listen to, because everybody had a different version of breastfeeding. Listen, we're mammals, people, go back to the bottom circle. These things are called breasts. We've got them on the front of our body. And our baby's attached to them, and if we shut up and just let them do it, and we weren't broken and the baby wasn't broken, then it'll happen. If we break it, it probably won't. So when people are saying, I'm going to try and breastfeed, it's like, yeah, like you're trying to get pregnant and you're trying to have a natural birth. Stop trying and do it. See, this is where the three circles becomes an amazing thing. The body knows how. Get the brain out of the way, and your karma will do what your karma will do. What you've signed up for is still going to happen. But if you're going to listen to everybody else's say-so, there's a trouble ahead. And that's possibly the resistance, and possibly why people have... They follow the tribe. They want to be in the gang. What's the current fashion for thinking about whatever's going on? So I've got a number of women my age or thereabouts to sit down and ask them, did you breastfeed? What happened? And everything that came up for them is usually a lot worse than what the young girls aren't breastfeeding with today. Why did we keep breastfeeding? Because we knew we had to. We knew that was the baby's survival. Somehow or other, we have been, word again, hypnotized, conned, lied to enough that we are following a crowd of let's do this thing called retail as opposed to mammalian. So I talk, one of my courses is mammalian maternity. I am not in the slightest bit interested in what the midwives have even got to say, because they've been colonised into the right-hand side of the page as well. They're trying to not be, but they can't survive. Here we go back to safety. So I started talking about the life recipe. See how we can get diverted. Because we live in a context of fear. And we live in the context of what'll happen if we don't toe the line, which is getting a lot worse. So this is how I got my life recipe. I went, okay, people come in here and they've got whatever. Let's just say they've got a sore neck that nobody can fix. Because a sore neck that nobody can fix is a pretty standard problem. The problem's not in the neck. The problem's likely down here on the pubic bone. Well, who knows about that? Anybody who's been to my classes. So what we're doing is we're looking first of all at the bottom circle. Now, it has to breathe, otherwise it dies. Yeah, we'll get to food, that's number 9. It's got to breathe. So the first thing on this list is you have to breathe, okay? Now, I've done the life recipe, so I'm not going to go into that, but the first thing is we've got to be able to breathe. I should have done it from this way up, never mind. The next thing is we've got to be hydrated. We're in trouble if we're not hydrated. And the third thing is safety. Right, all bets are off. Granddad raped her when she was 3. Never going to feel safe. Guard your heart. Mum didn't want her and tried to abort and didn't happen. Whatever.
Yeah, this is liable to have happened before the person has any conscious memory. So now I've got to do another line. Well, I did the duality one earlier. Now I'm talking about what Dr. John Shen did. And so we've got conception of the physical vehicle. This is not the beginning of the life. It's the life of the thing we call a person, okay? So what is the person comes into this? We've got death of the physical vehicle on the extreme right-hand side of the page, okay? And halfway through, we've got 2 years of age. And a third of the way from the start to the end, we've got birth. And two-thirds, we've got 10 years of age. So what we're looking at here is impact of influences on a person's life. Okay, so the person is the three circles. Now, before they arrived, there was a soul, and after they go, there will be a soul. We are having a physical experience in a mammalian wrapper, and we're calling that all there ever is or will be, which is rather short-sighted, I think. So by the time we're two, hopefully we're still being breastfed. By the time we're 10, hopefully we're still with our mother of origin. You are your mother. Part of this course is about healing the mother within. It's not you. It's not the mother you wished you could have been, the mother you were. It's about your mother and her mother and her mother and going back. Because we are only here by virtue of the maternal line. Yeah, father sows a seed. But who looked at, who kept us safe, who nurtured us, who gave us the medicine from her nipples, which is more than food. And in a biological, see, I'm doing biological, I'm not interested in what's going on these days. Biologically, we're only going to be here because of our mother. We're only safe because of what she has sacrificed. She is no longer a princess. She has a mammalian duty, and she won't know anything about it until it happens. And so they make plans. They're making plans up there in the middle circle about, you know, they're going to go back to work, and they're going to make all this money, and they're going to put the kid in childcare, and go, you forgot you're going to fall in love with this person. You forgot, rather, you don't even know, so I'm going to say nothing. I'm just going to nod my head, smile, and go, oh, that's nice to you. There's really nothing else to be said. If the woman's not bonded to that baby on a primal level, which is down here in this circle here again, she can do that. She can make the boy's choices, but she can't make the mother's choices. So after we've done safety, we need to be able to be outside. If we're not outside, hello, that's where life is. Inside is a construct, like our cage. The next thing is we have to be touched. If we're not being touched, we're in deep shit. Six, we've got to have a raison d'etre. We've got to be here on the planet to be doing something, and to be in my space, you will be. To be listening to this, you will be. Reason for being here, a passion for life, if you like. Number seven, I've done into the three circles. So we've got to have something, this is called nourishment, number seven. And number seven is about nourishing your soul, nourishing your heart, and nourishing your physical vehicle. And that's what's called food. So, I've changed my diet and this is happening. I don't care about your diet. Your diet's also what's going in your head and through your ears. And everything else that you know, is happening because we're living in a bunch of people that are getting ever closer and closer and closer and closer constrained and wanting everybody to be exactly the same because money is to be made. No thought of where we're going next, and Mars won't be it. So when we're looking at the middle circle, that is called the human, and it's got a tribe, otherwise known as a gang. We've got a herd in the bottom circle. We've got whatever you want to call it in the top circle, okay, because every culture's got a different version. So I'm using the word soul, splinter, aspect of self. And this little drop in the bucket of who we could have, and we'll go back to, the source, is experiencing, okay? So this whole thing called life is just an experience. And to call it good or bad is missing the point that this is an experience. Now, if you can see life from that model, instead of being stuck in the game, it would make life a lot simpler because you could actually then do what you came here to do. So that's a bit of a download. Okay, so in my work you can also see what I've done. So we've done two lines so far. We've done the left and the right. We've now done impact of influences on a person's life. And the next line I'm going to be doing is that which is setting up a life, which, remember, I said I'm going to go on to the other side of the page, for a minute. So here I am back again. Now, this is the life that I know about, because I've the I that's speaking through this personality structure has the memories and experiences still intact of this physical vehicle's ability to be here. So that brings in soul transfers and walking in, which we will deal with later. So what we're doing at the moment is going, the physical, the right-hand side of the page, reality of this here is what I got you to undo in your undoing your life library. And undoing your life library is about the experiences that happened that shaped you. Now you know that you've got the third and third and third thing going on, which is why so much of it you can't answer. Because you've got memories of further down the track, to the right-hand side of the page, but what really makes a difference is really what happened to your mother and what happened to her mother that led you to where we are here now. And her behaviour towards maternity was half of the impact of anything that was ever going to happen to you. And her ability to stay intact as a human being with sovereignty around your father was two-thirds of what's ever going to happen. This is colossal. Absolutely colossal. And the victors, which are the men, are not paying attention to any of this because there's an awful lot of rape going on. Just saying quietly. So when we're looking at the setup, and I'm not going to go through my story except to say that it's in the past. Look, that's a long time ago. But my impact of how I was shaped comes from somebody who was born in between the wars. And her mother was born before there were electric lights in everybody's house, let alone plumbing, let alone refrigerators. And that's where we very easily forget that the speed of the transformation of the world as we know it is wearing us all out, because we were not designed for this. We were designed to be slow and walking everywhere and living with the people found within our immediate area who were sort of more or less our tribe, and they more or less had the same mores that we did, and they more or less had the same customs and habits and expectations, and more or less everybody knew what to expect, and more or less everybody had a similar life. That is not where we are now. So from the setup, it includes, you know, things like birth order, date of birth, gestational age at birth, the creed I'll put down, you know, like the religion's beliefs and all the rest of it that a parent have got. And that's going to make a hell of a difference. It's to, you know, like I had kids born over 18 years. So each of them had a different mother. You're going to say something? You look like you're
Gestational age, what does that mean?
Well, were they 6 months along, or was mum 10 months along when she had them? It's going to make a hell of a difference, you know? And these days they're telling everybody that 39 weeks, even 38 weeks is due, is not. And where they get that from is entirely men-driven, and it's got nothing to do with any biological precept. We are going to have the baby according to a bell curve when everything is auspicious.
Mm.
And that's coming into the nutrients available and the circulation of those nutrients and what else is going on. And it depends. And those two words are not around. Okay, so when we're also looking at, I had one kid in 1977, another one in 84, another one in 86, and another one in 99. Sorry, 94. So that was at the beginning, the end, and the end. Okay, so there's 18 years between the first and the last. They got a different mother each time.
Mm.
The world changed.
Mm.
The person I was with changed. They had three different dads. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Look at that. One dad, three lots of dads. And so that starts to see, and here's another line on here. So we've got the script, we've got the setup, we've got the can't do it, or we try, we can't do it, change, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse against the resistance until you do, and then you've got what you came here to do. Now, along the way, you can fall into drugs, sex, alcohol, over-rescuing others, killing yourself, whatever you want to be doing. But at some point, there's going to have to be a bit of a wake-up. Now, I think I was born woken up. Which was really interesting, love. Some of us were to come here and do what we're doing, and we're doing what we came here to do. Mm. And that means that we're going to have, watch out, let her through. My astrology is Mars is the most strongly aspected thing, and Aries. Just get the hell out of the way, because we've also got Ray 1 personality, I think I might be. Unless it's a 7, I can't remember how it was done. But that also is get out of the way. There is no Ray 6 in me at all, which is devotion. I am not a follower. I cannot. I can only lead. I cannot. I can shut up. I can sit over there in the corner and pretend I'm a silly old lady. I can do that now. I couldn't in the 30s. I was too much of a firebrand. But the point is that we've all got different ways of looking at. Before we talk about the normal astrology, okay, then there's, you know, Chinese astrology, and there's different ways that we can group ourselves to make more sense of who we are. And we've set it up. So if you could remember for this quadrant, we've set it up as a soul, that part of self, to come here to do whatever it is. Now, because Gaia is changing so quickly, you will find that there's a whole bunch of people who coincidentally you run into. And you keep on running into them because they're part of what you're to do. And to judge it, to hate it, to whatever, look, just go with it, it's easier. And going back to, I don't want to, is hardly the way forward, because that's the personality taking over. And so if I was going to do, and we're going to stop this in a minute and do something else, but I'm going to go to another bit of paper and show you what I perceive, what's going on. We've got our three circles, and that would be in a state of balance, so they're all the same size. And then we've got our anti-corona, so we've got a line straight through. So we're here on the planet, and so we're here on the Earth, and we're getting from source light and what have you, okay? So that's us. We have a tendency at some point to decide that we are like that. So we've got a very squished pancake of a physical vehicle. We've got an incredibly large, look at me, ego and all the rest of it. And there's just a tiny little light, which is the soul force. Now, we're going to have to do something about that. And the amount of resistance is a bit dependent on how big the middle circle's gotten. So that, if we want to go into male and female, generalising terribly, is we've got false arrogance and humility. Now, you go here that they're on the wrong sides. No, they're not. The male and the female are not on the left and the right-hand side of the page. The more condensed is over there on the right-hand side of the page because it's got proof. The side that doesn't have any proof but takes that side of the page anyway tends to be the women. And it tends to be the women, particularly after they are after menopause, when their testosterone is shut down altogether. Not there at all from the ovaries. Well, somebody decides to take the ovaries out. Or the excessive estrogenic stuff that happens when men have got a prostate problem. Hey, I don't know what happened to the doctors, but they lost the plot. They've got the prostate problems because of too much estrogen, not too much testosterone. Another form of slavery. So let's take his prostate away. They don't usually take their balls away, but they do flood them with estrogen. Now, likely they got the problem because of too much estrogen to start with. I don't know. It's got nothing to do with me, their way of thinking. So here we have, I've got diagram one, which is in balance, they're all the same size. Diagram two is where the Western world tends to go. So anybody who's got tribal learnings, they're not going to get like that. They can't get like that. And I suspect what we came here to do, the bunch that are listening to me, came here to be big circle, tiny little middle one, and the same size. And look, I'm not an artist, so they're not perfect. And our temple allows us to be here because we're looking after it, which is our life library. The middle circle is not to be chucked out, and it is what we're talking about when we're talking about
gentling trauma, the gentling part of it. The personality can't let it go in one hit. The body can. The physical body is quite capable of going, template over there. Might take you out for a wee while you sort it out. But the bit that's going to drive the ship is in the head. The spirit's going to go for it. So that's part three. So what I'd like to have people happen is segue into either here or here. She said speaking to the imbalance because they're a standard human being, or they might have come here to do the light-bearing thing, because otherwise what are they doing here anyway? So there we have here. And to get out of the middle bit and not want to help yourself first is the issue I'm finding with people starting to sign up to my work and going nowhere with it because they can't. Because it brings up too much. Or they know they want to, and it might be their whole life journey to just get one part of it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And we all know how difficult it is to help ourselves change. So giving you a different model may allow that to happen. So that's where these, the line and the three circles. And the bit I haven't said, and this is the end of it, is so how did I get to here? Well, my own life, thank you very much. Except I wasn't normal when I came in. Normal being standard. But to be listening to this, neither were you, okay? So I came up with the seven L's. Now this might be revision, I'm going to do it again. We are all of the light and we forgot. We forgot also that lineage is, you know, this is the top circle is the light. So that's speaking to the top circle. Speaking to the middle circle is lineage. To be in the body as a whole, we've got the liver energy as a whole, which then gives you the three circles. Isn't this an amazing way to do it? If you've got your circles, you know what you're talking about. You can see which part I'm talking about. Then we've got the fourth one, which is lymph and ligaments. It doesn't matter which one you put first. I haven't been able to work out, so you probably won't either. Now that's the bottom circle. It's got lymph and it's got ligaments. So we've dealt with that in reconnecting Dao and Dai, so I'm not going to belabor that point. Number five. Why I've got a problem here and I've stopped myself is because number five is actually ligaments. We've got lymph and ligaments. Number six is lies. And number seven is litigation. They belong in the middle. The lies and the litigation is all about the Flexner report. You need a doctor to give you drugs for the rest of your life. Your body can't heal itself. You're a woman, what would you know? Just all of the things that take away the sovereignty that enslave you, they're the lies. So here's my three S's. Slavery, sovereignty, and service. Now the slavery comes from believing, which is the middle circle again. Stuff that really isn't terribly useful. Now, we're doing this, so then when you start undoing your own story, you've got a different model that you could actually use rather than get stuck in the stuff that's going to come up. And if you have a look at it, we've got litigation is on the other end of light. So then if we do the three circles again, I'm going to call this descent into duality. This is like a board game. We come from the left and we're going to come round and out the other way. Okay, that's the process on a non-linear. You know how we come in as a tiny little seed and then we get made and then we get popped out of mum and then we have this thing called a life and then at the end of it, we review it really, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
When we get a bit older, we go, so that is a life cycle and I'm doing the life cycle like this for you to see that. Yes, we've got the three circles, and I'm doing it somewhat differently. And I've got a word here called separation on the extreme left hand. And then I've got you feel betrayed because you are no longer part of the whole. If you think of a flock of birds, or you think of a shoal of fish, or you think of
us not in this dimension, we would be attuned. We have been shut down, whether it's the fluoride, whether it's the aluminium in the air, whatever's going on. We are not open necessarily as we were when we were a lot younger, and that's going to go into control. And we only feel safe if we have control of everything. So we're going to control it. Okay, that's based on fear and judgment. So there's me going, yeah, we've got a problem, a solution that needs fixing in the verbiage and the assignment thing, because fear and judgment go together as does organized religion.
Mm.
Okay, it's all about fear and judgment. That's the control.
Mm-hmm.
Separate from spirit. It's the middle circle we're dealing with. And if we want to do something about that, we're going to have to accept that we have relatedness. Who kills each other mostly? People in the family up until recently with everybody on us. It was more you're going to kill somebody because you came in to sort that out and you didn't. So here we go, we're going to, you know, this one, then that one does it. You know, like shrimp in it. So, you know, we've got one side and the other side, and we've got the Hutu and the Tutsis and whatever. Whichever group of people you're talking about, they probably are getting born into one side, then the other, and one side, then the other, and so it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Until such time as there's a recognition from one very brave person who goes, it stops here.
Mm.
We all bleed red. We forgot.
Mm.
Now, that is the herd. Monkeys do it too, you know? Like, I used to think that we were originally all born pure, and I'm beginning to review that. I remember having an argument with older people. I was 17 at the time, so that could have been any age. That, you know, we came in pure. I'm not convinced these days. Anyway, so we've got the herd at the bottom circle. We've got a tribe in the middle circle, and that's also, you could call it a gang. There's inclusion and exclusion running very rampantly. And if you don't do what the rules say, you're out. And that then is when you've got that thing called pointing of the bone. Every culture does some way of excluding, you know, you're not vaccinated, so therefore we don't want you, that sort of thing. There's no logic to it. There's never logic. It's a group thing. And then the top one, I suspect if we do want to have aspect of soul family, we're going to have to work on this thing called connectedness. I couldn't find another word. So connectedness. Now that's when we're going to be bringing in we're male and female, and then people are going to get upset because I'm not using the right words. And I'm going, I'm doing biology here. I know there are male penguins that are gay. I get it. Now, can we look at epigenetic factors? Because all of the let's inject female DNA into male babies, surely to goodness, is going to have a bit of a problem, because homeopathics actually does work. Because, and in 1962, Rachel Carson, another ANSI woman, she died of breast cancer, funnily enough, wrote Silent Spring. She was aware that the accumulation of, I can't remember which pesticide it was, I was going to say dioxin, DDT, was killing off the polar bears and the large raptors, and they were sitting on eggs that broke because the shells were so fragile. And this is back in the very early 60s, and she was actually, she was onto it, and everybody attacked her because, you know, we don't like the message, so you telling us about it is the problem. And it's gone on and on and on. I've got different versions of that as we go up because I've been doing the fertility thing, and our stolen future is a site that's sometimes up and sometimes not, so that might get written down, please. And our stolen future was the name of a book written by a woman called Theo Colburn and a few other people. And then there's another one that was written around about the same time called The Feminization of Eden, and there's a few of them about, and they were all done by women who've sat down and thought, oh my gosh, look what's going on, and everybody's still denying it. Now, I've been immersed in this for the past 4 decades, so I'm not happy with anybody, because I read Silent Spring when I was in my Greta Thunberg phase when I was 14 and 15, and nobody was listening, and that is called Cassandra. Cassandra in Greek mythology. Cassandra in Greek mythology, has anyone heard of? No, I hadn't either.
I heard the
gods,
name, but
yeah,
I don't remember.
One of the gods fell in love with her, and I don't know, they had a splitting up. So he decided to gift her the gift of prophecy with nobody's ever going to believe you.
Oh, that's right.
And
yes.
That, unfortunately, is, you know, we've all got shivers going down there. Yeah, exactly.
We do.
Me too. It's like, it's not a happy place to be.
Yeah.
Because they say, they think you're jinxing something, and when it comes to pass, they can tell you that you're so omnipresent that you created the problem, or didn't actually. I could see where it was going.
Mm.
And I've been seeing where it's going, and so I came through with this, like, how am I going to try and help people undo their thinking if they want to hear? Now, I know they're going to get tripped up all over the place. I know that. I've been in it, you know. I've got my hands into people's stuff all day. I've got to stay being clear, which is why the first section was on clarity. I think that's covered sufficient for us then to be able to do the next step. Except to say there's three H's as well. And the three H's are... Ha-ha. Oh, gosh. Ha. It's all very well until I forget them, isn't it? Three H's. We've got humility, humour, something else. Humanity, gosh, silly one. Okay, right. If we acted with humanity and humility and a sense of humour, it would make our life easier being here. We could then accept, see acceptance as, and love and trust and faith is on the right-hand side. Where I had fear and judgment and religion organized. I'm sorry if I just trod on one of your landmines, whoever's watching, listening. On the right-hand side, we've got spirituality. Just because I always do it from the left to the right. That's just a Heatherism. And so we could easily say we're going back to the light. Yes, we are, and it's a circle. And going back to the light, we've had to go through the physical to get there. Now, that is the end of that. So we're going to...